Hi, everyone. This is the How to Lower Your Tax Bill podcast. I'm your host, Terrence Hutchins. I'm a financial and tax advisor in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And the goal of this podcast is to help you listeners get educated on different tax strategies that you can implement to improve your tax situation immediately. Each episode, we'll break down useful tax tips you can use to save money, no matter what your personal or business income situation. Because our motto is, keep more of what you earn. So let's get into today's episode. All right, so welcome to the How to Lower Your Tax Bill podcast. I am your host, Terrence Hutchins. And we have a very special guest today. It's actually our first guest on the podcast, and that is Ms. Tamia Kelly. So I will let her introduce herself as she has started working with us this year in our tax prep department.
Well, hello, wonderful people in podcast land. My name is Tamia Kelly. As he stated, I am based out of the great state of Oklahoma. I am excited to have this amazing topic today that is so near and dear to my heart, that I learned about only being a tax preparer. So I look forward to getting into this conversation. Thanks in advance, Terrence, for having me.
Awesome. So this actually was Tamia's idea to talk about this. As she says, she was blind and now she sees, right? So the more you get educated, the more you have an opportunity to make changes and have just a new perspective on things. And so we kind of got into this idea around why people are infatuated, or why they love getting tax refunds so much. And I've always been in the opinion that I don't want to get a tax refund. And normally, I probably think I'd rather owe a little bit anyway when I actually file. So I'll give her the floor to let her kind of talk through maybe some of the thought process she had about tax refunds. Now that she's got a little more education, how she kind of feels about them now.
I was blind and now I see. Yes. Listen, you all, before I became a tax preparer, I was one of the people. So we all know, right? February, March, April, we see the new cars. We see the new clothes. I mean, we see all the things because people are talking about they get this huge refund. And I was the people were me. Mm-hmm. And that I wanted to get this huge refund at the beginning of the year. But the more the Lord blessed me to make money, the less of my refund I got. I'm thinking, what is going on? Well, becoming a tax preparer now, I understand, really, you may not want a tax refund. Or if you're getting a tax refund, let's figure out why. Because it really depends on what your tax liability is, if you're paying too much to the government, or some other factors that go into why you're even getting a tax refund. And I wanted to talk about this because so many people are still in the mindset of, I should be getting a refund, without really understanding that a refund is essentially you've paid too much in taxes or you qualify for some type of refundable tax credit. So, yes, let's get into it, Terrence, because we got to. Because I want the people to know that we need to change our mindset on needing a refund at the beginning of the year.
Awesome. Yeah, so just to give a little context, you think about your tax return, you know, your page one is going to go into, okay, how much money did you make? And then you may have your primary deductions that you see on page one is going to be just the amount that the government says they're not going to tax you on. That's called your standard deduction. So if you're single or married for 2025, if you're single, the first $15,000 you make, the government doesn't tax you. If you're married, it's double that. Then you have other adjustments that we talked about in previous episodes that are called above the line deductions. So that's going to be things like your HSA contributions, if you have student loans, if you have an IRA contribution that you do, then those things that can actually lower the amount of income that the government will tax you on. And then your page two will go into different credits that you have. It shows how much did you pay in during the year. And then if you look at line 24, that shows you how much is the government expecting you to pay. So if you compare your line 24 to how much you paid in during the year, if what you paid in is higher, then you get a refund back.
Right.
If what you paid in is lower, then they're going to say that you owe. Mm-hmm. All right. That's kind of the simple 5,000 foot view of it. So if you think about it, the only reason that most people are getting money back is because they actually gave the government too much money. In fact, just think about the idea of who likes to, and one of the biggest things that Amazon has kind of done is they made returns easier, but most people don't like buying something and then having to return it and then wait to get their money back. But when it comes to tax refunds, we, as a society, a lot of people have liked the idea of waiting until February or March or April to get that $3,000-$5,000 back, which is effectively just a return of their own money. So think about, in fact, it's funny you said that, you know, people wait, because I recall my, I guess my first experience of thinking about money was in college. And I remember people were excited about their financial aid, you know, and I was just, and then I came to think, oh man, you know, people, you know, they got $5,000 back. And so they're going shopping. And I was like, man, I want to get my $5,000, right? And then later on, I'm like, wait, hold on. Most of these are loans that they're taking out. This is not free money.
These are student loans, which is what you need to be putting that refund towards, right? But we're not going to get into that, right? But yeah, that's real.
But you know, the government is not giving you back free money.
Right.
And even if you were in a position where you were a lower income earner, and you maybe had a few dependents, you are in a position, at least based on how the tax code is set up, to where you can get money back that you actually didn't pay into the system.
Right.
You could have paid in. I mean, I've had people pay in $100 and get back $5,000. Right. And that's just based on how the system is set up. But you shouldn't desire to be in that situation.
Right.
Because, you know, if you're single, you're probably only making $20,000-$30,000 in that position. So you think, well, would I rather just go make $50,000 or $60,000 or $70,000 or $80,000 versus making $30,000,
right,
and then having to wait to get $5,000 at the beginning of the year?
Listen, that is such a good point, right? Because I'll continue to talk about myself. When I was younger, I didn't make a whole lot of money. I was a single parent. And so I needed that refund at the beginning of the year, not really realizing that all of that money I was getting back was meant that I was poor. It kind of missed. I was like below the poverty level, right? And so essentially, when I began to make more money, I didn't understand. I was getting frustrated because of the amount of FICA was taken. Who is FICA anyway? I was getting frustrated because FICA was taking so much money, not realizing that I was actually putting myself in a better financial position. The Lord was blessing me to make all this, you know, more money. But if you don't have a mind shift, or if you really don't understand that a refund is just the overpayment of taxes that you've paid in, or that you qualify for one of those refundable tax credits, the earned income credits, which you're referring to, the child tax credit, right? If you don't understand that, you will think that you're supposed to get a refund every single year instead of being grateful or appreciative, I guess, of what you're making throughout the year, that you are making more money. You don't qualify for those credits, and it's okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so let's talk about really two types of taxes that most people end up paying.
Yes.
So you have FICA, as Tamia mentioned. So FICA is an acronym. Essentially, that's pretty much Social Security and Medicare.
Yes.
So you pay a fixed amount of taxes, which is this year 7.65% for most people. So on the 7.65% of whatever you make, you're going to basically pay into the government. So when you're older, your Social Security check didn't just come from thin air. It was based on the taxes you were paying throughout the years that you worked. And then your Medicare or health insurance you get when you're retired is based on that same tax that you paid. So you're basically paying into this system so that you can have governmental assistance in retirement benefits or healthcare benefits when you're older. So that's a fixed amount. Then you have federal taxes. So your federal taxes is what you would effectively be getting your refund back generally. Now, obviously, in any tax situation, it always is going to depend. There are some isolated situations. But we have what's called a progressive tax system. There's seven different tax brackets. So you start at 10%, we go up to 37%. So think about if you went to the bar, you think, hey, the people that make the most, they're going to pick up most of the tab. The people that make the least, they're going to pick up a smaller amount of the tab. But everyone has the opportunity to plan ahead to determine what they're going to pay based upon what they make. So it just requires a little bit of legwork in order to do that. And so the biggest thing, if you're a W-2 employee, that you have control over is how much they withdraw from your check every time you get paid. And that would come from your W-4 form. So Tamia, do you recall the first time you filled out your W-4? Like, did it make sense to you at all?
Absolutely not. I said, oh, I can file exempt, which in essence means they don't take any taxes out of your check, right? So when you think about going back to why you would get a refund or why people get a refund, I just remember saying, one, I wanted both things, right? Two things were true in my life. One, I needed more money to come to my pocket throughout the year. And two, I also wanted a huge refund. And I was actually able to get both because I didn't make any money. But when I first became aware of what this actually meant, what this W-4 meant, this withholding form meant, then I remember thinking, oh, man, I'm going to be broke every time I get paid. Because the government does want its fair share of what you make. You got to pay into it. So that was, for me, that's an important tool that you can use to understand what you're going to be paying or what you can actually get in your pocket every time you get paid.
Gotcha. So talking through the mechanics of the W-4 form, it's really broken out into four parts. So it's going to ask you for your filing status. You're either going to file single, head of household, married, or married separate, which is essentially like filing single. You just are married legally. Depending on your filing status, that will determine, do they take out more taxes or do they take out less? If I file single, they're going to take out more. You file married joint, they're going to take out less. So that's number one. Then you have your deductions. Your deductions is generally tied to, like I mentioned earlier, that standard deduction, which is the amount of money the government doesn't tax you on. So if I make $100,000 and I'm single, the government is actually only going to tax me on $85,000. So on your W-4 form, you could actually say, hey, if I own a house, though, and I have other deductions that I have available to me, and once I add up my itemized deductions, which is going to go on my Schedule A on my tax return, I can look at, hey, what is that number that came from my Schedule A? And I could actually put that number on my W-4 form. Okay, so if it was $20,000, I could put $20,000. Instead of the $15,000, this is going to be $20,000. Then I have my credits. So my credits are generally going to be tied to my dependents unless I have other credits that are available. So certain credits that are more popular now would be like electric vehicles or solar panels. Those are things that you could say, hey, I'm actually going to get this big credit back. I can put that information on my W-4 form. So they end up taking out less taxes. So when I file my tax return, they'll have already factored that credit in so that they actually take out less in my paycheck so I can keep more of my money throughout the year. Then you have on box 4C of your W-4, you can actually specify how much income do you want them to take out. Now, this is especially important for people who have multiple jobs.
Right.
Because if you work part-time, for example, many times I see, you know, I see someone has a higher W-2 and they have a lower W-2 where they made, you know, $10,000. Well, in that case, when that second employer is taking out taxes, they're only thinking through, well, how much is this person making? If you're only making $10,000, $20,000 at a second job, well, they don't know that you have two jobs.
Right.
So they're going to take money out as if you've only going to make that for the year. So many times I see a very little amount of withholding on that second job, and then that can actually create maybe you to owe overall because you haven't had enough taken out of your side job. So that's something that when you fill out the W-4 form, you have your filing status, you have your credits, you have deductions, and you have the actual extra withholding that you can specify how much you want to have taken out. And that will then determine, okay, how much am I going to get in my paycheck? And then you can kind of double check your work after you fill this out. And you can compare your last year's tax return. So you can look at your box 24. That box 24 shows how much money did you pay in federal taxes for the prior year. You could just look at your paycheck and determine, okay, how much are they taking out now in taxes compared to what I owed the prior year? And that could be a decent barometer to determine, are you actually paying in enough?
Right, right. I think to go back to the W-4 that you're mentioning, one of the things that helped me understand why they're taking all this money out of my check is at the end, and Terrence will certainly correct me for sure, but at the bottom of that W-4, if you go to the IRS.gov or Google, right, you will see they give you an estimate. This is not the gospel, but they'll give you an idea of if you make 60K, if you make 70K, the amount of taxes you're going to owe, right? And so that also helped me understand, okay, I don't need to be trying to file exempt. I don't need to be trying to have like all these different withholdings. If I don't want to owe, if I do want a refund, I need to make sure that I've selected the correct withholdings and or like Terrence was mentioning, add that additional tax withholding to make sure that I don't owe or possibly get a refund. And I think that what he's referring to is so important from an educational standpoint so that you can change your mindset on should I really be getting a refund? Do I really want a refund? Or do I really just want to keep this money in my pocket throughout the year? Or do I just want to break even during the tax season, quote unquote?
And when you think about your objective, my first thought is to either have a tax liability above $1,000 or to owe less than $1,000. Mm-hmm. Number one, if it's more than $1,000 that I'm getting back, then I felt like I let the government keep too much of my money. If I'm paying more than $1,000, I now open up myself to actually having to pay a tax penalty. Mm-hmm. And so if you don't like paying taxes, which I've never met anyone that does, you probably don't like paying more taxes. So even if you feel like, hey, I'm paying in enough, why does the government want more? Well, to Tamia's point, you can actually try to determine how much they actually want you to pay in so that you have better expectations. And if your expectations are too low, then you just got to realign yourself to the facts of your situation. Right. To say, okay, hey, how am I making my money?
Right.
And this, based on how I make my money, this is how much they're expecting me to pay. But if I owe more than $1,000, I could be subject to an underpayment penalty. So number one, I want to avoid that so I don't pay any extra taxes. And I can do that by either paying in at least 90% of what I owe for that year. So if I owe $10,000 as my total tax bill for the year, I need to have paid in $9,000 by January 15th. If I do that, then I can avoid any kind of tax penalty. Or I can at least pay 100% of what I paid the prior year. And that number is very important for people who have big jumps in income.
Yeah.
And I actually encourage them to actually use that to their advantage. Because let's say you're a business owner, for example, and you doubled your income from one year to the next. Well, especially with interest rates now, let's just say that, in the extreme case, let's say your tax bill is $100,000 or $200,000. But the prior year, it was only $30,000. Well, let's say I have this $100,000 to pay my taxes. If, as long as I paid $30,000 by January 15th of the next year, so we're in 2025, if I had paid $30,000 by January 15th of 2025, I could keep my $100,000 until April 15th. So I have 3 more months to actually earn interest on my $100,000. And then I can pay it to the government. And the government will not charge me more as a result. So now I'm actually in control of my money. And I kind of gave this example because we had a technical difficulty earlier. We won't get into that. But Amazon is a big example for this, where they have their accounts payable versus accounts receivable. So when you go to Amazon, you immediately pay them for whatever you purchase. But many times their vendors that they order stuff from, they won't pay them until 90 days. So they say, hey, give us the product. When people buy it from us, we receive their money, but then we won't pay you for that product until 90 days later.
Right.
So they actually have a 90-day cycle where they make millions of dollars in interest just from holding on to other people's money.
They do
money.
That with your refunds too, people.
Exactly. So the government is in a position where they actually are basically hanging on to a lot of people's money and then just giving it back to them whenever they decide to file.
Listen, you mentioned a really great point about, because I deal with a lot of W-2 employees. I have a few LLCs, sole proprietors and everything. And one of the things that they have a hard time with, not so much of W-2 employees, because you can use your W-4 to try to get an idea of how much you should owe, what your tax liability is or your fair share, right? Mm-hmm. I would say, though, that one of the things about a refund, like you said, I love that whole $1,000 gauge, is because for those people who have those side hustles and just different things, you still got to pay taxes, people, right?
Right.
You got to pay taxes. And so with that, you need to make sure that you too use your resources to find out how much taxes you owe. And in that case, if you want to do a little over to avoid, because some people are afraid of owing the IRS. Mm-hmm. And so even if you're a W-2 employee and you add those additional withholdings, okay, great for you. But if you are a sole proprietor, LLC or anything, you too need to also try to estimate how much taxes you should owe and pay that to where you're not underpaying the government. And if you so happen to overpay, great. That's better. But you certainly don't want to underpay because you're trying to avoid the man or the government or whatever your motives are. Because there are some penalties for that. Listen, they will get their money one way or the other. One way. Oh, and they're going to find you. Okay.
For sure.
So that's also, I would think, should be an important conversation when we're talking about even refunds, right? Mm-hmm. You got to pay in.
Right, definitely. And one thing that I'll point out in that scenario, so if you are someone who has a side hustle, you want to gauge, okay, how much am I making? I know that many people, they don't like accounting. And so they don't keep an account of what they brought in, what they paid out. But if you don't track what you are spending, you're probably going to leave money on the table because you're just not going to know all the stuff you spent. And many times, especially during tax season, depending on the preparer you're working with, they're not going to have time to try to hold your hand on every little detail that you could have done. And most CPAs or EAs that you're working with, they're not going to be giving you quote unquote advice, right? Your planning doesn't start February 1st or March 1st when you get all your documents together.
Right.
That has to be in the prior year.
Great.
But one thing to keep in mind, I mentioned the whole FICA versus federal taxes. So if you have a side hustle, just know that on any profit you have, you're going to pay twice the FICA tax, plus you're going to pay a percentage of whatever your tax bracket ended up being. So if you're paying twice the FICA tax, which is about 15%, and you're in a, let's say, a 22% tax bracket, that means that on any profit you make in your side hustle, you're going to pay 37% tax.
7%.
And so you need to account for that to say, hey, either I'm going to have extra withholding out of my paycheck to account for it during the year, or to Tamia's point, you're going to pay a little bit every 3 months to ensure that when you file, you're not hit with this big surprise. And then you end up paying extra money through penalties.
And so I guess, Terrence, my question for you would be, I know the strategies that I give people, specifically W-2 employees, about refunds and about changing our mindset, right? So I hope by this time during the podcast, you're asking yourself, do I need a refund? Should I be getting a refund, right? Or why am I getting a refund? You do a great job of directing us back to our tax return from the prior year to understand and really kind of dissect it and see why we even got a refund. Was it due to some type of refundable credit? Was it due to like deductions, adjustments, all these different things that go into why someone receives a refund? So I guess the question would be, how then, you know, what are we supposed to be doing with refunds? Why should I get a refund? What is your thought process being in this business for, I guess, forever, way longer than me, about refunds and about how to make sure we're not overpaying the government or underpaying for that matter?
Yeah. So when it comes to the refund, you know, there's this concept that is called the time value of money. Okay. And that just means a dollar today is worth more than a dollar in the future. And I can guarantee most people, even if they don't understand that concept, they understand the idea that if I asked you to let me hold $20, I'm going to give it back to you, right? You would want it more immediate. You wouldn't want me holding on to your $20 for a year, 2 or 3 years, right? Because if you don't have that money, that means you can't spend it, or you don't have the options to do anything with it yourself.
Right.
So that's really what we want to get people to understand is, If they have more control over more of their money, then they just have more options available to them. All right. And why I always have that $1,000 plus or minus is if they're getting back more than $1,000, then I think the government is hanging on too much money. If they owe more than $1,000, they can have penalties potentially. But also, it may be more of a burden to come up with a bigger payment versus say, hey, if I planned ahead and if I owe $1,200, what? It's a lot easier to pay $100 a month versus paying $1,200 at one time. And that's when some people get behind on their taxes and then they don't decide to file. Or I've had people where they didn't even, because they may have owed in the past. I literally had a client that was getting a refund back, but they missed the statute to receive it. And so they filed. So the IRS only gives you 3 years to file your tax return if they owe you money. Now, if you owe them money, there is no statute of limitations. They're going to want to get their money. In fact, if you don't file, they actually might file a return for you that's not going to be to your benefit. But they actually had waited so long to file because they were putting it off that they lost out on a few $1,000s of a refund that could have been applied, that they could have got back, but they waited too long to actually file. And so taxes is something that we think you should embrace because it's probably either your largest or one of your largest expenses. And you have a lot of opportunity to lower that expense through education, through learning how to utilize your money or how to take advantage of the tax system so that you can ultimately pay less in. But if you don't embrace that idea, then you're going to have this expense that you pay every year and it potentially is going to get bigger as you make more money. And you're going to feel kind of helpless or hopeless
right.
around it. But it's not something that you really have to be afraid of. It's really just understanding the rules or working with someone who does so that you can ultimately make better decisions for yourself.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. And so for anyone that's listening, when you think about a refund, when you think about owing all the things, you really got to find balance, right? One, you got to understand why you're even getting a refund. I think you said it, Terrence, that a refund is extra money. It's just extra money. It's not extra money. It's not a refund. It's not extra money. It's your money being returned.
Right.
And so we tax people who pay taxes got to make a decision. Do I want that money throughout the year? Which is what I actually believe now. Right. Do I want that money throughout the rest of the year? Do I want that money throughout the year? Or do I want to wait to get that money at the beginning of the year in one lump sum? And then if that's the case, then what am I doing to make sure that my goals, my financial goals are being met, my objectives are being met? Am I looking at my, checking my W-4? If I have a side business, am I, you know, checking my tax liability throughout the year, how much I've made versus how much I estimated to owe the government? What am I doing to put myself in the best position to meet my goals? And then when you get that money, all that money, those people who get that $5,000, $6,000, $10,000. What are you doing with that money? What is your end game? Because I think you said it before, Terrence, about how this is just money they've been holding. If you're getting a refund, right. giving it yeah. back to you. But throughout the year, if you have struggled throughout the year or you owe or whatever, then yes, that vacation sounds amazing, right? However, so karma, also paying off your debt and putting it in the savings would also be as beneficial to what Terrence was saying, understanding that value of a dollar for sure.
Definitely. So a final few tips as we kind of wrap up. And we talked a lot about looking at your past year. And so we're actually going to do a future episode. I'm just letting Tamia know this now. About what are some things on your prior taxes that could actually impact your current year taxes?
Yes.
And so we'll talk through that so that you are fully aware of how those things are done. Because even when it comes to your W-4, there might be things from your prior year that will impact how you fill that out.
And let
so we'll go through some things there.
Let me say that too, because and I need you all to tune into that one, because that's going to be a good one. Because I know as somebody that we all know that didn't pay taxes, okay? Mm-hmm. A rich person that did not pay taxes. And I think you said this, Terrence, that this is not a game for the rich and famous. It's out there. How did you say it? It's public.
Oh, it's public. Yeah. So yeah, our tax code is public. See, she uses my government name, Terrence. When you know, because we're professionals here. But yes, the tax code is public. So if you see some guru on social media and that makes it seem like there's some secrets that the rich have, they really don't. They're probably just working with someone who's educated on their situation. Or I would say your taxes follow the facts of your circumstance.
Yes.
So depending on the facts of your circumstance, that's going to determine how much taxes you pay. So if you want to pay less taxes, you got to change some things about your situation. And that's part of the goal of this podcast is to educate you on what some of those things are that you can do.
It's going to be some good stuff. And it's going to help you understand your tax return for sure. So that way you can understand your refund better and make it work for you.
Awesome. So if you have any questions, you can send them in to us at questions@logos, that's logosfg.com. And we'll address those on future episodes. And she said, we'll bring Tamia back. We'll talk about some of those things from the prior year tax return that can impact your current year. And as we say, keep more of what you earn. And we will talk to you guys soon.